You may remain seated. Grace to you from him who is our great high priest, who mediates a new covenant in his own blood, and peace to you in his blood, a blood which cleanses us from all sin. Our text for this evening comes from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter on faith. The writer to the Hebrews is demonstrating how the believer in times of trial is sustained by faith. He demonstrates this with a series of examples from Abel to Abraham to Joseph and to Moses. He demonstrates the believer is sustained by faith in God's promises. And so we turn to verse 28. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. This is the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, who is the beginning and end of our faith, dear fellow believers, where do you feel safe? I've driven through Chicago a few times, and I can tell you there's a couple parts of the neighborhood there where I don't feel necessarily so safe. Maybe it's the stories I hear, the rumors, the news reports. And I remember when I was a child driving through Chicago with my parents, and they told me, and we were just stopped at a stoplight, and they told me to roll up the window and lock the door. And this was something new to me, and we were just at a stoplight, and all of a sudden I was supposed to feel uneasy. We were far from home. And being away from home has a way of making a person feel less than protected. Home is generally the place where we should feel safe. It's a place where we should feel comfortable. It's a place where we can lock out the people we don't want and let in the people that are nearest and dearest to us. The people we trust, our family, live there in the home. All the while, outside, there's something evil, there's something threatening that we're trying to get away from, a danger that lurks. The destroyer is spoken of in our text, and he's visiting the world. Why should we be spared? We seek refuge, we seek protection. Where are we going to find it? How are we going to be spared? Home is where the Israelites were to be found. It's where they were to find protection. They were to be at home with their families and surrounded by God's promises. They were safe inside their homes because their homes were protected by the blood that had been placed on the doorposts by which God would pass over. A lamb had provided the blood of protection. All the while, there was something outside threatening, something dreadful. Pharaoh had hardened his heart again and again against the Lord's visitation and command, to the point where he had driven the Almighty to enact the last and most dreadful plague. The destroyer would be released to visit the homes throughout the land and take the firstborn. Death had visited, and even if their doors were locked, this could not keep out the judgment of God. What will keep God's people safe? They too are equally guilty. They deserve nothing better. What will keep them safe because they too gather in their homes that night? For the Israelites, it was a divine memorial. It was enacting something that would give protection. It wasn't by doors that were locked, but doors that were stained with blood. The Israelites were instructed to mark their doors with the blood of a lamb. The destroyer would be passing through Egypt, and he would spare all who had the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. It was the Lord's Passover. It was called this because this evening the Lord would pass over those houses who had trusted in God's promise. Home is where they gathered that dreadful night, surrounded by family, surrounded by God's promises. It was left to the Father to lead, to pray, to teach. It is the Father who selects the lamb. He goes out to the marketplace where the shepherds are found, and he has to select the best lamb, one without blemish, without defect. This is an offering to the Lord. His sons join in slaughtering the lamb, and the blood is collected. The blood is the most precious part of this ceremony because it's that blood by which God has chosen to pass over their homes. They collect the blood, and they make use of hyssop branches collected together in a bundle to slop it on the doorposts. It centers in a lamb and its blood. The family gathers for a meal and prayer. They share in eating that roasted lamb with family. Gathered around God's mercy, they enjoy fellowship and food, but all the while it is tense. There's an urgency to this whole situation. They know that tonight something is taking place outside, and the Father instructs them to eat with haste, to have their sandals laced, to have their belts fastened. He even has a staff in his hand, ready to depart on a journey. It is the Lord's Passover, for he's passing over the houses of the children of Israel and saving those who trust in his promise. It's just outside the door, just outside. The destroyer is released, and we pray that Pharaoh would be humbled, that he would heed God's call. Together they eat and drink in God's merciful presence, and God has provided the blood which protects. Why should they be spared? Notice how in Exodus chapter 12, which recounts this, it has nothing to do with the people. The difference in who is spared and who is not was not because they were better than the Egyptians. They were not protected because they had the greatest plan. It was not locked doors. It wasn't a merit or careful planning or strength that would guard them from what was outside. What saved them was not anything they did at all. And so we read, by faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. It was the blood of the Lamb, the promise of the Lord, a sacramental blood that gave forgiveness and mercy. It was a means of grace. Yes, it was God's means to share forgiveness and salvation through earthly elements, an Old Testament sacrament, similar to our celebration of the Lord's Supper. In fact, more than similar. The Lord's Supper is the fulfillment of what was happening in Exodus chapter 12. And it had nothing to do with works. It was all about trust. Trust in God's promise of protection. It's that same word that visits us this evening. The word which enacts protection in our homes and in our hearts. The command of the Lord, it has come to us. The Passover was always a shadow. It was always promising something better, something greater, a greater protection that went far beyond the doorposts, and it would come to the very hearts of God's people. There he was, the night of his betrayal, gathered with family and acting as a father. Jesus, gathering his disciples together to celebrate and keep the Passover. It was the night of his betrayal, and this would be the place of utmost safety. It would be home for the disciples. As they recline together with their Lord, they break bread, they drink wine, and eternal protection is enacted. As we read in Luke 22, he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." A lamb goes uncomplaining forth, the guilt of all men bearing. Paul Gerhardt is expressing exactly what was going to happen that night. It was a spotless lamb who went forth. He knew what lay outside those doors. He knew what was ahead beyond that upper room. On the night of his betrayal, there was something dreadful outside, some darkness. Outside of that upper room, death was seeking the firstborn of God. And uncomplaining and faithful unto death, Jesus went forth. He went forth to the destroyer. When he was called forth by Judas, he didn't hide, he didn't shy away, but he stood up and said, "I am he. I am the Passover lamb, and here I am willing. Laden with the sins of earth, none else the burden sharing, goes patient on, grows weak and faint, to slaughter led without complaint. That spotless life to offer, bears shame and stripes and wounds and death, anguish and mockery, and saith, 'Willing all this, I suffer.'" In that upper room, the cries of John the Baptist echo, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And in this room, in this home, those cries echo. Every communion Sunday, "O Christ, thou Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us." As disciples, we keep the fat Passover, the feast of our Lord, in the fullest sense, because shadow has become substance, and the blood we receive is the blood of the new covenant. It's not the carcass of a dead lamb. It is the living Lord Jesus, who has been resurrected and who lives before God eternally in heaven, who comes. Each Sunday we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's not a yearly memorial of deliverance. It's an eternal memorial in remembrance of Christ. And it's not just protection for your houses. It's protection for your heart. All the while outside, there's something that threatens us. Outside, there's something that lurks, a danger. And sometimes it strikes even closer to home. It breaks those boundaries beyond locked doors and enters into our families, into our lives, into our hearts. The destroyer visits the world. And why should we be spared? By faith, Moses kept the Passover. By faith, the disciples kept the Passover, and by faith, we keep it too. We cannot escape the curse of sin by locked doors. We cannot lock this out of our lives. It's not by careful planning or our strength, but we are spared only because our hearts are stained with the blood of Christ. Our Father gathers us and selects the Lamb, and in His mercy we find protection. A substitution to take our place in all pain, in all trial, in all sin. Jesus is here behind closed doors as a family is surrounded by promises. We eat the meal with haste. There's an urgency that calls to us because outside is a world perishing, trying to drag us out into the streets. As Christian, we're going back to a world that won't spare pain or loss for you. It's a time for Christians to have their belts fashioned, their shoes tied, and be ready for a pilgrimage. With greater urgency, we receive Christ's body and blood every week, gathering around promises as a family of faith. We share the feast of victory, which strengthens and protects us until life everlasting. So whether you're threatened by something out there in the big city, or maybe something closer to home, this is the blood that protects you. In every situation here, we receive communion, and we take it into our homes, into our problems, into our lives, into our callings. As we leave with Christ in us, protecting us from all evil that would threaten us, any destruction that would destroy us, and any death that would rob us of life. His blood protects. And so we sing, of death I am no more afraid. New life from thee is flowing. Thy cross affords me cooling shade when noonday's sun is glowing. When by my grief I am oppressed, on thee my weary soul shall rest serenely as on pillows. In Jesus' name, amen.